The She Knows It podcast acknowledges the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional custodians of the land we stand on. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. May we walk beside them as we strive for a future filled with cultural understanding, reconciliation, and a voice for justice and treaty.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the She Knows It podcast, brought to you by Genazana Institute and the Sisterhood of St. Vincent's Foundation. My name is Anastasia Drake, and I'm a Year 12 student at Genazana FCJ College. This is a platform where I'll be talking with women who work at St. Vincent's Hospital with hopes to inspire young people and to give insight into the phenomenal work of the women who work in health. I'm thrilled to introduce our Sisterhood staffer today, who is the Director of the Department of Addiction Medicine at St. Vincent's Hospital, Yvonne Bonomo. Welcome, Yvonne. How are you going today?
Very well, thank you.
I'm so glad to hear it, and thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to hear about you and your incredible work at St. Vincent's. But to start us off and get to know you a little bit better, we're going to put you in our hot seat, which is where we ask you five rapid-fire questions about yourself. Are you ready?
I think so.
Question number one, who do you admire the most?
I admire many people. Mm-hmm. I admire the ordinary person who gets up and goes to work and does a great job and navigates life's challenges and continues on, rather than a particular celebrity or a particular leader in the world. I just like seeing people do everyday things and doing it to the best of their ability and being cheerful about it.
I love that so much. That's really inspirational. Question number two, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
It would still be in Melbourne, Victoria. Mm-hmm. Despite some of my family live in Sydney and keep telling me Sydney's better, but no, I don't agree with them. It's Melbourne, Victoria.
Do you prefer books or movies?
Oh, I like both. I like a good book because I love to sit on the couch, have a cup of tea and a blanket and immerse myself in reading a book. Mm-hmm. But equally, I love watching movies.
Very fair. And lucky last, what makes you laugh?
Oh, anything that's to do with animals or little children being funny. So often those Instagram reels that have kids doing funny things or animals doing funny things, that always makes me laugh. And similarly for animals, sometimes I think animals might be human because they behave in such ways that you think, are you really a dog? Because you're behaving like a person would.
So, it gives you perspective. It certainly does. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Really appreciate it. But now let's delve into your position at St. Vincent. So can you tell us a bit about your role?
So my role here at the Department of Addiction Medicine is to lead a wonderful team. It's a multidisciplinary team. So we have doctors, nurses, psychologists, social workers, and other allied health staff. And we as a team look after people who have problems with alcohol or other drug use. They come to us for help to deal with. Usually it's an addiction, not always an addiction. Sometimes it's tricky substance use or problematic substance use that if they don't address it will become an addiction. Mm-hmm. So we are really happy if they come earlier rather than later because it's easier to reverse patterns. But nonetheless, if they have an addiction, then we look after them and help them to address their substance use. And along with that substance use, there are often lots of other problems that they're facing, be that with their mental health or with their social situation. And that's why we need a multidisciplinary team, because we help them manage the other aspects of their life that are causing them concern. Mm-hmm. And we help them to get stable and move on.
So it's really focusing on those external factors as well as the actual problem.
Exactly, yeah. Wow, because if you just focus on the substance use, and not the other factors that are impacting them in their lives, then you're unlikely to be successful. So we help them realise that, you know what, we have to balance everything in your life and help you get back on track and and then move on.
So what would a day in the life look like for you?
Very busy. A day in this line of work can be seeing people, hearing their story, which can sometimes be quite confronting, mm-hmm. helping them make sense of that story, helping them develop a plan around what the treatment options are and what other things need to be addressed, as we mentioned before, about the social situation or mm-hmm. their mental health. So it might be a full day of doing that, or it might be that someone who's been coming to see us for a while has run into problems getting access to treatment or employment or education. And so in that case, they might ring us up and we advocate for them. So our role may be an advocacy role, or it may be that the media ring up with a query about something that's going on in the community related to substances. And so it's education of the community and advocacy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it can really vary. Sometimes we're asked to come to the emergency department because someone's presented there and they're either intoxicated or they're coming off the drugs and they're really unwell. Yeah, never a dull moment.
So I guess within that very diverse line of work that you're in, what would your favourite aspect be?
I love seeing people doing well. So I love seeing them getting back on track and reflecting to them, reminding them how far they've come.
Mm-hmm.
And I love helping our younger staff members. So they might be junior doctors or junior social workers or junior nurses, helping them to understand the work that we do and understand the nature of the problem. So teaching them. And we also do research here. So that's another part of our work that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Well, now backtracking a little, what was it that made you want to pursue a career in addiction medicine in the first place?
Well, that's a really interesting question because I didn't start out planning to be in this field or even in this role. So I always knew that I wanted to do something in the area of healthcare. At school, I decided that I wanted to do medicine. And then being at uni, enjoyed medicine very much.
Mm-hmm.
And then on graduating, you rotate through different areas of medicine. So
mm-hmm.
I thought I'll work out what I want to do because, you know, there's all these jobs to do and I'll get some experience. So I worked in cardiology, specialising in hearts, and I worked in respiratory medicine, specialising mm-hmm. in lung diseases, and I worked in geriatrics, specialising in older people. And every job I did, I loved. And I thought, oh yeah, I could do this for the rest of my life. I really enjoy this.
Yeah.
So I wasn't clear, in fact, where I would end up. And then I had the opportunity to work at the Children's Hospital in the Centre for Adolescent Health.
Wow, okay.
And that was a 6-month job working with young people. And about 1 month into that job, I thought, this is it. I love this work. I love seeing young people and helping them manage whatever problems they were presenting with. And it was really diverse. It could be diabetes, it could be asthma, it could be eating disorders. And eventually it was young people presenting with substance use.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, when I started seeing more and more young people using drugs or drinking too much, I decided, okay, I'll go get some experience in addiction, because at that mm-hmm. time there wasn't a field of addiction medicine or drug and alcohol medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I came back to St. Vincent's to learn how to help young people with drug problems based on what I was learning working with adults at St. Vincent's.
Wow. Okay.
And so via that very circuitous route, I ended up working in adolescent health and addiction. And then because the addiction field was expanding so much and there was so much need for research, I decided I'd focus just in addiction, which meant that now I'm seeing young people and adults. And that's how I've ended up in this field, in this role. Go figure.
Okay.
If you asked me during university years whether I'd be in this area, I would have laughed and said, no way. Why did I do that?
Well, obviously within that, there would have been the tough times. So what inspired you to keep pursuing when it got difficult?
Yeah. Look, I think when it gets difficult, talking to people is really the best thing you can do, talking to your friends, your family, people you're working with, mm-hmm. because you very quickly find that everyone has times when they're struggling or they feel like they're climbing uphill. Mm-hmm. So I've been lucky in that I've had the opportunity to work with fabulous people who are always happy to talk and support each other, and also have a fabulous family, both, you know, close family, but also, you know, extended family, none of whom work in my field, but are happy to listen and provide their perspective. So sharing a problem is yeah. often the best thing you can do, because they give you perspective, they remind you of your values, they remind you why you started in this field in the first place. Mm-hmm. They can see what you can't see when things are tough.
Well, as all of us know, there's always the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to any career. So I'm hoping you don't mind giving us, I guess, some further insight into these aspects of your journey, and maybe tell us about a time that you felt excessive pressure within your role.
I think the excessive pressure is felt from time to time when you can't access services that the people you're looking after need. So and that still happens now. So it's happened, look, throughout my career, there have been times when you know what that person that you're looking after needs, mm-hmm. and you just can't get it. Even during COVID, it was difficult because people couldn't come in, and so we'd have to ring them up or talk to them on screen. Some people didn't like using computers, and they were so isolated, and we realised how important it was that coming in to see someone for your healthcare is really important, and there was nothing we could do short of what we were already trying, which was maintaining contact in whatever way we could. They're the hardest things, when you feel like you can't provide or navigate the system for the people you're looking after, because then you feel like you're not doing the best you can. Even though you're trying your hardest, there are some things you just can't do, and they're hard.
So you said before that you now are better when dealing with those types of situations. How do you feel that you were able to develop your mindset to get to the point where you're at today?
Yeah. So the first few times that happened, so early on in my career, I'd kind of worry about it, think about it for a long time. Right? 2 days later, I'd still be thinking about that person that I couldn't find a homeless refuge for her, and I'd be wondering, where is she now, and I hope she's okay, and I hope she comes to her appointment with me. These days I'm more philosophical, also more prepared to accept that you can still provide the care that that person needs and that you're doing your best. So I think I'm able to communicate that to the people that we look after here better. When you can communicate that better and get that understanding, so that person doesn't feel like they're not being listened to or heard, or that we don't understand their situation, that means that you can just put in place, you know, a plan B, which is not as good as plan A, but it is a plan B, which is better than nothing.
Yeah, so really just understanding that you can't save the world, but you can make an effort, and that counts.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep. So now, focusing on the positives, can you tell us the time that you're most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of the field of addiction. When it started, it was a new area of health, and it wasn't actually a formal specialty. Drug and alcohol or addiction wasn't considered a specific specialty. And the problem with that was that then people said, oh, it's because it's not really an area worthy of healthcare. It's, you know, people's choice and they're just making bad choices. And yet we could see it is very much a healthcare issue, and that it does need the academic rigor and the specialist input not for everyone that uses substances or drinks alcohol, but for those who are running into significant problems. Mm-hmm. So we had to go through a process of making a case to various bodies or institutions to say, mm-hmm. this needs to be a specialist area of medicine so that people recognise it as a healthcare problem and so that people can see that you can work in this area and do good work. Mm-hmm. And so that took many years and many hurdles to jump over, you know, writing reports, gathering data and so forth. And then in 2009, the then Federal Health Minister, Nicola Roxon, approved the area as a specialty, and I was in charge of presenting that all that work that was being done. I was the chair of education and later the president of what's now called the Chapter of Addiction Medicine. Wow. And getting that letter from Nicola Roxon to say, I've conferred with all my colleagues and delegates and advisors, and we now consider addiction medicine a formal medical specialty. That was a very special moment.
That would have felt incredible. All of your hard work paying off and really helping so many people's lives. That's pretty cool. So moving along, as obviously a very well-renowned woman in the field of addiction medicine, do you feel that there are any challenges, particularly for women entering this field?
I think there are, in because it's a time-consuming job. Mm-hmm. And so medicine is long hours, mm-hmm. lots of work. When you want to raise a family at the same time, you know, balancing the two can be difficult. Mm-hmm. But having said all of that, it's a very rewarding area. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the greatest challenge, is achieving a balance, and it's never completely balanced. Sometimes, you know, it's more tipping in favour of work, and other times it's tipping more in favour of family. That's the challenge.
Mm-hmm. So how have you achieved this work-life balance? What do you think has aided you?
Practice. Trial and error.
Very fair.
Yeah, with time you get more experienced at anticipating what might come up, anticipating challenges, and having a contingency plan around it. Also, having a group of supportive friends is really helpful in navigating that challenge, mm-hmm. and, you know, moving in the direction that you want to achieve.
So what quality do you believe that you have that has aided your success?
The quality, I think, would be problem solving and having an open mind. So open mind plus problem solving means that you come up with solutions that perhaps aren't the first solutions that you'd think of. So thinking outside of the box.
So whilst you've gone through your journey, what do you think the best piece of advice you've gotten from a mentor or colleague would be?
The most important thing someone said to me was, it's never too late. And I've never forgotten that. And that was when I was working as a doctor. I'd decided at that stage that I wanted to do working in adolescent medicine and then in addiction, but didn't quite know if I'd gone too far down one path to be able mm-hmm. to embark on this pathway of adolescent mm-hmm. and addiction medicine. And she said to me, you know, Yvonne, it's never too late. Everything you do in life teaches you something, and if you have to go back a few steps to change your pathway, that's okay. Like, it's not too late. Mm-hmm. And that for me was a pivotal moment, and that's what I would advise anyone who's listening, that sometimes you think it's too late, but it's not. You can still achieve things, perhaps not in the way you thought you'd achieve them, but you can still get there by a different route.
Yeah, and following different paths, even if the first one doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Sure. So I guess you can now talk to your younger self. What's one piece of advice you'd give your younger self as a woman hoping to pursue a career in medicine, I guess?
What would I tell myself? I'd tell myself to not worry.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't worry. Just keep an open mind and keep trying and it'll be okay.
Yeah.
That's what I would tell my younger self.
Enjoy the present.
Yeah, exactly.
So looking forward, what are your hopes for the future?
My hopes for the future are that that the team that I work with, and particularly the younger members who I'll hand over the baton to and they'll run forwards with it, I hope that we'll be able to make it really easy to talk about substance mm-hmm. use and addiction in the community, and that there is help and that you can have good outcomes, and that it's not something to criticise someone for, it's something to understand and help that person with.
Yeah.
That would make me a very happy woman if I saw that was the prevailing attitude.
So I guess you touched on this before, but lastly, given your experience with addiction medicine, do you have any things or advice that you would like to share with our younger audience about addiction?
So with talking to a younger audience, I think the most important advice I can impart is that most of you will come across, alcohol. Most people come across alcohol and other drugs mm-hmm. at some point in your life. And when you're younger, you want to be able to make the right decisions about that, because we know that the young brain is very susceptible to alcohol and to drugs, and it changes the wiring of the brain. So be informed, understand the nature of substance use and what it can do when you're young, and you've got this whole life ahead of you, and think carefully about whether you're going to drink too much or whether you're going to use a substance. Just think carefully through it so that you don't end up hurting yourself. Yeah. And just, let your brain and your mind and your spirit develop in a healthy way, and go forth in life and do great things.
Go forth and succeed.
That's right. Young people are our future, and, we want to see all the inspiration that I get from seeing young people do great things. We want to mm-hmm. see everyone being able to do that and feeling empowered to do something with their life that they're really proud of.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you so much for sharing and being a guest on the She Knows It podcast. We've really enjoyed hearing your insights about and into addiction medicine, and thank you for being an inspiration to young women.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity.
You've been listening to the She Knows It podcast, brought to you by Jenna Zano Institute and the Sisterhood of St. Vincent's Foundation. Thank you for listening.